Thanks for the good song, Katie. It fit right in with the song we were all singing, and I thought it was a great praise to God. And don't forget about the service tonight. Pray for that to go well. There'll be munchies afterwards. So have good praises to God, fellowship with each other. And Thursday, the outdoor service at Irwin Park, it'll be the second year for that. It was a pretty big event last year. I was there for about half the time, but people who were there, and it was a huge crowd, people who were there did a count. It was 700 people gathered to pray last year on the National Day of Prayer at Irwin Park. This year they're really expecting 1,000 or so. So it's just the time to say, Lord, we need your help, and Lord, we do give you thanks for all the blessings you've given to our country. So that's 6:30 on Thursday night. Be a really good time to seek God together. I enjoyed reading a book review that made a good impact on my heart recently, and the title of the book was The God I Don't Understand. I thought, boy, I can write 16 volumes on that. But really talks about the struggle that people have who really know the Lord, really trust the Lord, and still yet have a lot of unanswered questions in our heart, sometime that last most of our lives, and sometimes it come and go depending on what we're going through. So thinking about the Lord we don't understand, it reminded me of children, how children are real open and honest. They come right out with what's going on in their minds and hearts, and sometimes they ask God questions. These are some of the ones that children have asked God over time. God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was that a mistake? Lord, if you made spiders, why do people squish them? A lot of that goes on at our house, I know. Lord, is there a McDonald's in heaven? Only a child would associate McDonald's and heaven. You know. Lord, thank you for my baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. God, why did Jesus dress so funny? And some very serious questions that children asked. God, do you and Jesus ever cry? Do you ever laugh? God, do you know people are hungry? God, why did people kill Jesus? Something we think about at communion time. And God, how do I get Jesus in my heart? Great question. Hopefully each one of us asks. And people who trust the Lord ask God questions all the time. Jesus' followers asked him questions after he rose from the dead. The question they ask him that every generation has asked is, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And that's a great question. Lord, are you coming back? Come soon, Lord Jesus. And Jesus told them, that's not for you to know. A lot of the questions we ask God, and when we say, Lord, I don't understand you, he's going to say, I'm not going to tell you what you want to know. God gives us something better instead. At the Last Supper, when Jesus was having communion with his followers, he told them somebody would betray him, and they started to ask a good question. They said, Lord, is it me? All around the table, they turned to Christ and said, Lord, is it me? They knew in their hearts it was the potential to betray Jesus, maybe by some hard attitude or behavior that they had. And by asking that question, they showed they were willing to repent and change if necessary. Not a bad question to ask the Lord at communion time. Lord, is it me? Standing in the need of prayer or in need of change. If you look in the book of Psalms, you'll see a lot of questions given to God, just in the book of Psalms alone, 75 or more questions that people had in their relationship with God. And sometimes God answered and sometimes he didn't. Sometimes he just said, keep walking with me. Keep walking with me. But godly people in Scripture who knew the Lord real well had questions. King David did, Job did, Isaiah did, the Apostle Paul did. And every time we ask God a question, a sincere question in our heart, you and I are really saying to God, Lord, I struggle. Lord, I doubt. Lord, I don't know. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I don't understand you. Sometimes those are expressions of faith, crying out to God for help in some manner. When I think of asking God questions, I think I'd probably do so at least once a week, even if it's a question like, Lord, why am I stuck in traffic? Or, Lord, why do I have this headache? And I ask questions not out of rebellion, but basically acknowledging to God, Lord, unless you tell me things, I am clueless. I'm going to be in the dark. I'm going to be lost. Why is this a part of our relationship with God, the part of the Lord we don't understand? Could we grow even when we don't understand Him? A couple of things that I think really do help us when we ask God questions. First, we could asking the Lord questions and saying we don't understand Him keeps us humble and growing. Keeps us humble and growing. And it acknowledges something that God has told us in the Bible. God tells us in the Bible, my ways are not your ways. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. In fact, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts higher than your thoughts. And that's something that we should rejoice in. If God's ways were our ways, wouldn't God be messed up? You know, wouldn't His thinking be limited? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So we can be humble and growing, turning to Him. Unless He tells us about Himself, we're in the dark. Even as a growing Christian you might have known the Lord 70 years or more, you could still be humble and growing. When the lights go out in our house because of an electrical failure, something real good happens, all of us end up in the same room. Whoever has the flashlight, whoever has the candle, they're the one to follow. And people come from the garage and the basement and the kitchen, and we're all together. And we're all on the same page at that point. And we begin to talk to one another. And there's some great times we've had when the lights have gone out. And it shows us that we need the light together. All of a sudden we're humble, we're growing, we're following the same direction that God would graciously give. Humbly growing when we admit we're in the dark about the Lord, about something. After 30 years of following Jesus, the Apostle Paul wrote this when he found himself in the dark. He was in jail. And he was thinking, but I probably could follow Jesus a lot better outside of jail than in jail. But there he was in jail. So he wrote in the book of Philippians, he said, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. And if you look at the Amplified Bible and look at the Greek sense of that phrase, I want to know Christ, Paul was really saying, I want to more and more deeply and closely know the wonders of His person. And that's a veteran Christian saying that. Isn't that great? God could put that kind of hunger in our heart. Openness, part of Jeff's testimony, I think. Lord, I want to more and more know the wonders of Your person, Jesus. God can give us a heart like that. When I read books, I like to read books that are directly about Christ or directly about God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I used to get frustrated. I would seek out books that highlighted Scripture and had something to do with God's attributes. And I would get these books, and it would be about the God Himself. And the whole book would be like 120 pages. Real small. And I'd get another book, and it'd be like 170 pages. And I'm thinking, why are these guys who I know love Christ, who read the Bible all the time and are following Him, why are they writing such little expressions about God Himself? Why is that? And then it hit my heart, and they kind of said it in their writing, that God was so great and so wondrous that what they wanted to say about Him was very, very focused, and an admission that they needed to keep humbly growing to know the Lord in a good way. And hopefully that's your heart toward God. When you say, Lord, I don't understand You, it draws you to bow your heart and say, but I want to know and follow You better. That's a blessing from a question. Second blessing from questions about the Lord, it helps us accept our limitations. It's good to have limitations and to accept them. It's good, for example, that you and I can't explain evil. If we were able to explain evil 100%, we would be the author of evil. Some of us have attempted that, but that's not the case. But you and I can't explain evil because evil is irrational. It doesn't make any sense. Growing up in my household, when I would get in a fight with my brothers or hit my brother, my parents would say, "Why did you hit your brother?" And I would stop and think, and I would say, "I don't know." I was giving them a biblical answer at that point. I don't know if they appreciated that. But that's an admission of there's things in our lives we just can't understand. And unless God shows them to us, we're limited in our ability to even know ourselves without His help. Paul, when he looked at his own life of moving away from God, he said this in Romans 7, "I don't understand what I do. I don't understand what I do." And he wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, "There's a mystery of iniquity at work in the world." It's almost like you can't put your hand on why things are so bad in the world or often in your own heart. And how saying, "Lord, I don't understand," allows us to turn to God. We get to say to the Lord, "Lord, we're a stranger to your holiness. We need you to show yourself to us so we can know you and so we can know ourselves." Because without that, we're in the dark. It's an admission of limitations. And it's an opportunity to examine ourselves before God and knowing we need His help to do that. We do that during communion time. We say, "Lord, I want to participate in a way that honors you." It can be at peace with God and peace with others. That's a great thing. You heard about the fellow who wanted to go to the doctor. He went to the doctor. He was reluctant because he didn't like doctors. So he goes to the doctor and the doctor says, "How's everything going with you? How are you feeling?" He said, "You know, my brother has high blood pressure." The doctor said, "Is that right?" He said, "And my sister, she has pains in her chest all the time." "Okay, I get it. And my cousin Jimmy, he has a bad ankle. It's swelled up and it's hurting all the time." And the doctor said, "You know what? I'm not here to examine everybody. I'm here to examine you. That's why I'm here." And as we recognize our limitations, we know that God has called us in life not to examine others, but to examine, let God examine each of us. And we have a chance to repent and turn to Him and know His grace and His mercy on our behalf and on behalf of others also. Also asking the Lord questions allows us to know that the great truths of the Bible are not in competition with God's mysterious ways. I always hope we have a sense of, "I can't believe the Lord, how good He is, how gracious and the wonders of His person." For example, I love the truth, it's a revealed truth, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We sang about that at the beginning of worship. Thank you then, O Father. Can you imagine calling God Father or the closest loved one? Thank you then, O Father, for giving us your Son. Could you give a part of your life to God like Jesus did? And sending your Spirit till your work on earth is done. Something about the Trinity that it says God is like that. We bow to Him. And yet there's something about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that will be a mystery to us until we go to heaven. Not quite able to put Him together. It's three in one. And I love the fact that Jesus is fully God and fully man, revealed in the Scripture as absolute truth to us. So if I want to figure out God, I look to Jesus. If we see Him, we see the Father, He said. And he's a person like you and I, all the emotions and all the frailties we have, except didn't sin. What a sympathetic friend He is. And to ask God, when we ask Him questions, to always maintain our sense of wonder about Him, that's a gift He would give us. I think that folks will be singing tonight, God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy. God's absolute truth, not in competition to his mysterious ways. Even when we think of the cross, which we do at communion time, all the great songs about the cross often have a question mark in them. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my God, should die for me? That's a question. Now, why should he love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? Something that humbles our heart when we admit we don't understand everything about the Lord. And then when we say, Lord, I don't understand you, our unanswered questions toward the Lord can often lead us to a closer relationship with God, especially in the tragedies we face. And someone asked me one time, they said, write down the questions you have for God when you are in trouble. And I wrote down this big list. And they looked at the list and they said, oh, brother. At first they said, oh, brother. And then they said, you know what? These are great opportunities for you to seek God and to pray to him. Not that he'll answer all my questions, but his heart wants an open heart from us when we go through difficulties. And we say with the great men of the Bible, I doubt, I don't understand, I struggle. We find God big and loving and holy on our behalf. And it does change our hearts in a great and tremendous way. Of all the people in the Bible that ask God questions, I think Job probably questioned him the most, because Job lived through the most pain outside of Jesus himself. And Job asked the Lord questions for about 37 chapters. Struggling with loss of family and things and calling and all that. Felt like he wasn't close to the Lord. So he's asking God all these questions. And the Lord finally begins to question Job in a few chapters. And the thing about the relationship between God and Job, God never does give Job an answer to his questions. He never does answer Job's questions. And one of the things he doesn't do, which he could have done, would have said, hey, Job, you remember Adam and Eve? They fell. And, you know, that is kind of, that's evil. And so you had the devil before that. And it was kind of passed on. And maybe all true, but the Lord knew that wouldn't be helpful to Job. He needed something else. And so God doesn't give Job an answer. God gives Job friendship with himself. And isn't that something you would like to have when you have a question for God that remains unanswered? Wouldn't you say, more than anything else, Lord, I need you. I need your friendship. And in Job's life, God was greatly honored in Job's life, and Job was greatly comforted. And that can be what the Lord would do for you and I today when we have questions for him. Jesus offers himself to us at communion time. He really does. His presence is real in the body when we gather. And even if we have a question like a child that says, God, how do I get Jesus in my heart? And a great mysterious, born from above transaction, relationship. And God says, ask. If you're here this morning, you say, more than anything else, I need God as my Savior. God as my friend. Well, how do you get Jesus in your heart? Ask. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Just like a song would say, come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, you'll find a friend in him. Might we trust the Lord in all the unanswered questions that we have in our hearts and give him the praise for pointing us to himself. Might we pray together as God's people and prepare for communion with him. Father, if we could re-sing some of the songs we sang this morning about just wanting you and no one else, and the choir saying that you're here to really serve us communion, just like you did that first Thursday evening. We thank you for you. We thank you for being the kind of Lord that you are, that you'd reach out to us. We ask, Father, you'd be with our own relationship with you. You'd be with people that we know and love and need your help. We pray for them, for the folks who've been through surgery recently, Dee Matthews and Louise Steck, Sheila Gilpatrick. Give them good news in their bodies, Lord, for Gene Sherman, Sandy Cumming, and Fred Azevedo, Nancy Cumming. Give them good news in days ahead. Be with Melissa Hamilton. Bless her with taking pain away from her back. Thank you for the blessing of little Dale Hamilton being born into their family. Father, we ask that you help us as a people, help us as a nation. Be with our prayer life, particularly the National Day of Prayer. Help us to always seek first your kingdom, your righteousness. Give us repenting hearts. Wouldn't it be great, Lord, if the Christians above everything else would be known as, well, they're praying people, they're repenting people, they're sinners or Pharisees in recovery, and all the flaws we have would just put them before the Savior and what help we would receive. Be with our contemporary service tonight. Might give great praises to you, make great joy among your people and people drawn to yourself. Be with military folks who serve overseas. Be with mission in Cambodia. Thank you for your love for many years for the Cambodian people. Might they know the great love of Christ and the gift of forgiveness of sins. And hear our silent prayers, Lord, as we let you examine us and tell us about ourselves. Help us freely to confess and forsake known sin. Show to us the sin we don't know, probably just as equally as many as the sin we do know, and point us to the refuge of Christ. He came to save sinners. He didn't come to save good people, didn't come to save church people or religious people. He came to save sinners. So that's why we're at the foot of the cross today. Hear our silent prayers, Father, as we have communion with you and each other.